someone will come and remind you that you're different. Take, for instance, this example. It was a perfectly normal day. The sun was shining. I was walking down the road, minding my own business. Just moved to London, was full of the joys of spring, when across the road from me, a young man coming towards me shouted out,
"Oi, Ginger Minger!"
Yes, that's appalling. Does this happen often?
Well, probably not so much now that I'm a bit older, but I reckon about once a week when I was in my early 20s.
Well, it is appalling and deplorable. But where does this prejudice come from? Now, to solve this case, we need some evidence. So I turned to redheaded cultural historian Professor Kate Williams from the University of Reading.
Through history, redheads have stood out and they've been mistrusted. Shakespeare calls it the dissembling colour. So redheads are often seen as liars, like Judas, who sold Christ down the river. So they're not a safe person for a friend.
And Judas, is he a redhead in the Bible?
Judas isn't a redhead in the Bible, but he's constantly represented as redhead. So red hair almost comes to stand for something that's mean, that's cruel, that's also sometimes slightly witchcrafty. When you look at the Malleus Maleficarum, the Witchfinder's Handbook, the actual original said, you can't trust women with beautiful hair. So witches are often women with beautiful hair. That's all it said in the original. When it was translated in the early 20th century, the translator, he put in reference to red-haired witches. So redheads are often seen as people you simply shouldn't have around.
And how far does that go back?
We've got records of the ancient Greeks. The Thracians, who they saw as a lesser state, they would be characterised as red-haired and discriminated against. So it goes back right as far as we can see about people talking about representations, is that red hair is something that's hated, it's something that's mistrusted. And I think the only really reason we can think of for that is that it is the colour of blood.
But really, is life that bad for you?
Well, I certainly wouldn't suggest it was anything like suffering from racism. But there's other examples of Cryos, for instance, one of the world's biggest sperm banks, that banned ginger donations a few years ago because they said it was unfashionable. I think there was a lack of demand, to be fair. But there was a big outcry about this. And they have now allowed ginger men to donate their sperm once again. But it has to be said, it's a lot cheaper to buy.
I am sorry for your troubles, but we must get back to the case in hand. Dr. Cruikshank wishes to understand her son's condition, shall we call it?
I prefer to think of us as more biologically unique. So what is it that makes us different? Well, the story begins with what you could safely class as a pretty niche hobby that sprang up at the end of the 19th century.
People started to collect mice with different coat colours. It was referred to as the mouse fancy. And originally this was very big in China and Asia.
This is Jonathan Rees. He's a dermatologist from the University of Edinburgh. And he's one of the scientists who discovered the ginger gene. Yes, I know dermatologists study skin. We'll come to that bit later. But first, back to those fancy mice with their coats of many colours.
Through the sort of 20th century, people began to be interested in why those mice had different coat colours. And in the early 1990s, a group in America, Roger Cohn and colleagues, identified a gene that seemed to be important in determining whether mice had a yellow coat colour or whether they had a black coat colour. And for reasons we still don't fully understand, yellow in mice is probably the same thing as red in humans. So that gave us a clue.
So they set out to investigate this gene in humans. Could a simple change in the code be responsible for some people inheriting their gloriously fiery locks? But Jonathan's experiment didn't turn out quite as they'd expected.
The experiment was collect a bunch of 20 to 30 people with bright red hair, collect a bunch of 20 to 30 people with dark hair, sequence the gene in both groups. And in one sense, what we were expecting to find was that there would be a single change, and that would be sort of easy, and it's a nice, simple story.
The problem was they didn't find just one change. They found so many different variations in the code, they thought their machinery had broken.
Yes, well, genetics is rarely simple, but this, in a nutshell, is how it works. We all have a gene called MC1R. What Jonathan Rees and his colleagues discovered was that redheads have one of a handful of different types of this genes, almost like flavours. In our bodies, MC1R is involved in pigmentation, how we are coloured, and it all works via a molecule called melanin.
So we have two types of melanin. We have a sort of brown melanin and we have a sort of red or yellow melanin. This gene codes for a receptor, a protein, it's almost like a little volume control, that alters the ratio of the two melanins. So if you have bright red,